Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Great to see you this morning. Great to have you come to this joint Sunday school class. So we have all of the Sunday school classes combined today for this class, a special edition. And I believe we're going to be live streamed and recorded and all that stuff. So if you want to listen to it again later, or if you know of someone that is missing the class today and you would like to encourage them to listen to it, then I would like to encourage you to do that. It will be online the next couple of days. So it is being recorded and it is going out live. Did you check that out with Ellie? Okay. All right. So we are all concerned with the Middle East, right? When we say even those words, the Middle East, we have certain feelings, emotions that arise within us. We have certain thoughts or pictures that we have in our minds of what the Middle East is. We have these ideologies that kind of are loosely floating around in our minds about what people there believe, what they're like, what they go through daily. And we are very fortunate today to have Ellie with us because Ellie is able to help clarify some of those things and also to really give us a clear picture of what God is doing in the Middle East and beyond, because much of what she's going to talk about, I think, is going to deal with those refugees that are leaving the Middle East and finding themselves in Europe and elsewhere, people that are turning to the Lord, people that are turning to Jesus in great numbers. And so it's a privilege of ours to be able to have Ellie with us today. Let me pray, and then I'm going to let her get started so she can make full use of the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that your mercies are new to us today. Your faithfulness is constant. We are thankful, O God, that you have saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that work that you're doing in us is something you're carrying on. You will carry it to completion until the day of Christ, and we are so thankful for that. We also know that the work that you're doing goes far beyond our persons and America and our limited knowledge. Your work is global, and it's amazing and wonderful and far beyond what we could even ask for. Things that we are not even aware we could be or should be praying for are happening all around the world because of your work and the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're thankful today to hear more about that and to be encouraged in our faith, but also spurred on, provoked to greater prayer and care for those that are fleeing danger, those that are leaving the Middle East, and many of those who are coming to Christ. And we pray for that to continue, for that wave of revival and reformation to continue. We long for that, and we're so excited to hear about it today. Would you bless Ellie as she presents to us? Bless her in all of her work, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a welcome to Ellie as she comes and speaks with us today.
Good morning, everyone. Praise God. This is an honor to be here for the second time. Thank you very much, Pastor Bill, Pastor Phil, for invitation, and also Janie and Bill, who are my greatest hostess and people that I know in Tucson, Arizona. And this is not their first time that they are hosting me, and lately with my husband too, because my husband, we started a Persian church in Southern California, and we are plenty and plenty of Iranian Muslim living in that area, as you may know. So praise God. They have a service shortly because you are ahead. You are 1 hour ahead. I grew up in Iran as a former Shia Muslim, I was a very devout Muslim, because that's all I knew about. I was in a closed country, and everything we heard about Jesus as one of those greatest prophets was what I learned in the religious classes that we have at the school. And that's all I knew. But always I have one question, that why Quran, which is written in Arabic language and it is not my native language, why I have to talk to a God who cannot understand my native language? Why should I learn another language to speak to this God? And why this God cannot have me during certain type of month? He cannot accept me, and I cannot have nail polishes, I cannot have makeup. And then also, when I started to get the translation of Quran in Farsi, I found out that if my hair be seen by people in Judgment Day, I will be hanging by my hair and I will go to hell. And all the men, if they go for the cause of Allah, which is the name of God for Muslims, then they're gonna go over there, they're gonna have fun time with virgins, and there are rivers of wine. So I said, well, they cannot drink here, and they go over there. So there is so many contradictions. And I was asking my mom, why God cannot understand my native language? And then, because Quran says Arabic is the most complete language of the world. Till I get to France, and I started to study French, and I really found out that French is a very complete language too. And then why there is no assurance of going to heaven for women, and why the other people has to kill for the cause of Allah to go to heaven. But my mom says we don't question God, and if you question, you go to hell. So there was such a spirit of fear controlling me that I was not able. In deep down, I knew there was something wrong, but I knew I couldn't question it because I was going to hell. Till the revolution started and they arrested my classmate and my teacher. She was 16 years old. My teacher said, you know, they arrested Mariam because they found something in her purse that was against the revolutionary new government, and they raped her and then they killed her. I said, why they raped her? Because, you know, it was not getting to my mind. I was probably 18 years old. And she said, well, you know that they don't want virgins go to heaven if they are guilty by the Iranian government. That's why they rape them and then execute them. So it was so cruel. I went to the cemetery standing. I was so depressed. I was like a dead walking in the streets. And deep down, I began to not only question Allah, but hating this God who is full of fear and death and hatred. I went to France for the first time. I don't know why, from 13, 14 years old, I always wanted to go inside of a church and see what a church looks like. So I went to a church, and I didn't know the differences. It was a Catholic church. All the churches were open at that time. I saw people are lighting candles in front of the Mary statues of Mary. I did the same. So I was sitting in front of the statues of Jesus, crying and asking Allah, what do you want to do with my life? Going back to my apartment and doing all the rituals in Arabic, and still, you know, was looking at my translation, because what they taught us about Jesus, that Christian believes in three gods, and they made a prophet God, which was a blasphemy to the teachings of Islam. And also, Jesus has never been crucified. And he was never born in a manger. So when I saw the Christmas decoration, I have a Catholic neighbor. And she was saying, look at the baby Jesus and everything. I says, no, Jesus was not born in a manger. And so I started to tell about the first miracle of Jesus did according to Quran. You know that what was the first miracle Jesus did? Thank you, but not according to what I learned. Yes, he spoke as a baby and said to Mary, fast, and do not talk. So they will see I am a prophet of God. So, and then it was in a desert area, and there was a palm tree with dates on it. The angel came to, I mean, it was totally a shock for me. So it's a long journey for me to finally have a visitation. And for the first time in my life, somebody gave me New Testament in Farsi, my native language. And I was thinking, this God is good because he knows all the languages. He can understand my native language too. And I didn't have any idea in the Bible is talking about Cyrus the king that we knew in history of Persia. I didn't know anything about, it's written about, Daniel or Esther. I didn't have any idea because they never mentioned anything to us. All we knew is Muhammad is the greatest prophet. And he's the last one. And if we disobey, we're going to go to hell. And who wants to go to hell? There was such a spirit of fear, and there is such a spirit of fear that is controlling the Muslim. And Islam is operating by this spirit, is very controlling. And the second thing is the spirit of lust, a lot. Because after revolution, they began to employ Sharia law, and they said, men can have, because it is in Quran, more than one wives is totally okay. The custody of children is belong to the men. A man can divorce his wife. Also, the women don't have any right. And also, they can have temporary marriages. I call it prostitution in a formal way. The temporary marriages started from 30 minutes to 99 years. I spoke to people that they are in temporary marriages for 99 years. Can you believe that bondage? And some of them, their husband is like 50 years old, 50 years older than them. So it's all this was bugging me. And I started to read the Gospels. And I said, 1 year I had a debate in my mind that one of these God is a true one and one of them is not. So I said, one night I was at my knees and I said, Jesus, if you are really the one that they said you are, please show yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. I don't want to go to hell. And in the middle of the night, I had a dream. So I thought at that time I was the only one had a dream. But I'm hearing more and more and more. Sometimes a village completely had the same dream of Jesus and they become to know the Lord. So I said, please show yourself to me. And in my great imagination that night, I had, and my surprise, I had that dream and Jesus appeared to me, although he didn't say, I am Jesus. Deep down, I know he was Jesus. And he told me, why you have so much doubt in me? Just believe in me. I was shaking when I immediately woke up because I didn't have any doubt about Muhammad. And this Jesus spoke to me in English. I knew Muhammad could not speak English. So it was funny that the Lord chose this language to talk to me. And still that the spirit of fear just gripped hold of me. And I was reading. My friend says, that was the Lord who appeared to you. And I was driving to the college. This dream is just passing in front of my eyes like a movie. After that, I started to attend their Bible study, but still I was afraid. I was saying, these people are so nice to go to hell. They're denying Jesus as a prophet. They deny Muhammad. So I was trying to convert them back to Islam because they were former Muslims. So anyhow, they were patient with me, thank God. And one day I was reading the Gospel of John. In the beginning was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Persian translation said, and the Word was God. And a voice inside of me said, look, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. The moment that voice told me to look at verse 14 in Gospel of John chapter 1, immediately this filth came out of my eyes. Immediately. It was just by the Holy Spirit. And I felt so stupid. I said, this was so simple. Of course God can become like one of us. But I was bound by the spirit of fear. I was bound by too much, I can say, fear, that my heart was totally closed. And thank God he opened the eyes of my understanding and rescued me from hell, truly rescued me from hell. So that the spirit of fear was broken over my life. And right now, just by his grace, there are millions of people are watching. I have a program in Farsi on the satellite, because almost everybody in Iran has a satellite. In Women's Show, it broadcasts everywhere. The people, the refugee in Europe can watch us. The people inside of Iran can watch us. Afghanistan, we receive. We are bombarding with the phone calls. And I was talking to Bill. He asked me, how long this Women's Show? I said, 90 minutes, but still people want to be longer, because on air they are getting saved. Because you know the only answer, you know what it is, the only answer to all this crisis is just the gospel, just the truth. The gospel is the power, and the gospel has the power and is the power unto salvation for whosoever believe. And they are saying, thank you for sharing us the truth. So believe it or not, Iran is the fastest growing underground church in the entire world right now. Although all the churches are closed, but the only connection with the outside world is through the satellite TV. It's on Thursday, and on Friday I have a program, again, live program with my husband, and again, people are getting saved. So I cannot share, because this is live streaming, I cannot share some of the stuff, but after, you can see me, I have some material, and I can tell you other good news. We receive multitude of testimonies of how many people change just by listening to the gospel, following the rules, and some of them, because they don't have Bible, but they share the scriptures with me, and I ask them how they know these verses. They memorize them. They record the program, they take notes, and they memorize them. Some of them, they have notebooks of the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So not every Muslim, I can say, are open to the gospel, but since in Iran, they firsthand experience the true, pure Islam. And the majority of people in Iran are under the age of 30. They are very, very, very open to gospel. They don't want to do nothing with Islam. So after that, the second country is open, especially the youth, is Afghani people. That's why we use Christmas as outreaches, or Persian New Year, which is next month. I'm going to go back to Europe, because we know how many refugees are coming. I do not speak Arabic, but I take Jesus film and other materials. We feed them too. We take them out of the camp. And once they get saved or still they are searching, we hook them to the local churches that we know they have the proper teachings, because Jehovah Witnesses are very active even inside of Iran right now. But thank God the trust has been established through the TV for years. We are on the TV about almost 10, 11 years. And when they have people in some certain cities that Jehovah Witnesses are open, they are not allowing them to come, because that great awareness comes. So there are many hundreds. We just came back from Christmas, and during the mission time of service, I'm going to show you just some fresh pictures that we took with my husband, with the people, that they are hundreds. Even if in the middle of altar call, or beginning of altar call, they were raising their hands and they wanted to come to know the Lord. When you are seeing just darkness and darkness, of course, when you have a visitation with the pure light, what would be your reaction? When nobody tells you about the truth, about who really Jesus is, of course, they're going to be in love with someone who is the King of Peace. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And I'm going to just show you some of the differences. So, because I think it's going to be, if we can go through. So, just name of religion is Islam. It's a name of religion. And person who follows and submit to Islam is a Muslim. And Islam doesn't mean peace. It means submission, or surrender to the will of Allah. And we're going to open up about Allah's name. So that's why each country, for example, when Bangladeshi comes or Pakistani comes or other, everybody is like have their own perspective from Islam. Because if somebody converts in the family that the rest of the family are still Muslim, they will be rejected. And unless they see some differences and they will say, you are peaceful, you are not using any more drugs. Because you see, people are so empty, especially youth in Iran, that we have lots of calls from people that they want to commit suicide, attempt already to commit suicide, or they are drug addict or alcohol. And then Holy Spirit just deliver them supernaturally inside of the country. That is why even if on air they are crying, just Holy Spirit touching them. They are crying. And like on Friday, I was on the live show. The lady just called and says, tell me how I can become a Christian. They are so ripe. And this is the timing. This is the timing of them. So this is just surrounding one life to Allah and His will. And just believing in Allah is not enough. You have to completely surrender your life to Allah. And you know, there is such a great spirit of suicide over this region because they want to kill themselves for their belief to the point. It's totally blindness. They are very much promised to go to paradise, and they said those Huri or the virgin girls cannot be even if compare to one of the ladies on this earth. That is, they found out in one of the notes of the suicide bomber. Can go to the next, please. So, Muslim are the people who are following Islam. There are many nominal Muslim that they do not know even if what is written in Quran. Mostly because Quran, can we be back? Because Quran is in Arabic. And I will explain to you more. So we've been taught if you are just a good people and do lots of good deeds, lots of Muslims, that's why they are nice, they are very hospitable, they are nominal, because they never knew about the true teaching of Quran. Can we go to the next, please? And here the name of Allah, it is written in Arabic. And Allah in Arabic means the only true God, according to encyclopedia. But it doesn't have the same characteristic as our Lord Jehovah has. Even if the teaching in Quran completely contradicted with the teaching of Bible, of course, that's why the author cannot be the same, because Quran deny the crucifixion of Jesus. And you know, in the Bible, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, he said, whosoever deny that God became flesh is the spirit of Antichrist. So we are dealing not with a religion, but with the spirit behind it. Can we go further, please? So if you see the flag of Islamic countries or on the top of the mosque, you see a crescent moon, which was the pre-Islamic Baal, one of the god of the moon, basically. But we didn't know. When we were worshiping Allah, even if on the rock that I have to go toward Mecca and do all my rituals, they are all crescent moon, which is the symbol of the moon worship. So, 99 names, and you know that President Obama just visited one of the mosques recently, and it says, I was reading the news, it says, yeah, on the mosque they have all the 99 names of Allah. One of them, if you see the picture, was that. But none of those names, none of Allah's name is love. None. And the first thing catch me in the Bible, God is love. God is love. Hallelujah. God is love. So that is one of the reasons I fell in love with Christianity. And you know, They said Muslim believe, Christians believe in three gods, and they even if they told us, even when we were reading the Muslim prayer and reciting the same thing, that God cannot give birth to a child. Because according to their belief, they said, oh, we believe in Jesus too. But always I asked them, as whom? As a prophet, not as God himself. Because in their mind, Christian make a man in the position of God. So they said, that is the recitation we had. God cannot give birth or have a son. Because in their mind is a physical act, actually. Can we go next, please? Okay. This Muhammad was born in Mecca. Can we back, please? And his uncle helped him grow, taking care of him because he was an orphan. And this is very unusual. Some say Khadija or his first wife were 40 years old. Some say she was 45 years old. He was 25 years old. And it's very uncommon in Arab culture. I don't know all the Arab culture, but it's very uncommon, even if in Persian culture, that a young man of 25 years old marry a woman of 45 years old or 40 years old. Because that woman was a businesswoman at that time, was pretty rich, and he wanted to use that money to spread his ideology in the city of Mecca. It's very important to know where he started, his quote-unquote spreading his ideology, because when he has visitation with that angel, when he was coming back, all the interpreter of Islam, because we had to study lots of books, he was having attacks, like demonic attacks. He was having foam and everything. He was scared. And you know that the spirit of fear is not from God. And we know the Lord gave us not the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, his spirit that gives us is what? Is love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Can we go next? So Khadija was a wealthy woman, his first wife, and she was 40, 45 years old. This is the mountain that he has this visitation. And he started to preach about the Kaaba is that black cube that you see in Saudi Arabia that the people go, the Muslim go to do the pilgrimage. And he went to, they had idols over there. Okay, I wanted to add something else. The father of Muhammad was Abdullah or Abd of Allah. Abd in Arabic means servant. Servant of Allah. So that Allah was a pre-Islamic name because his father was cleaning that house of Kaaba. So many Muslims believe that Muhammad brought that name, but it has been existed because his own dad name was Servant of Allah, which was one of the greatest statues of one of the greatest idol statues in that brick black house. So he was cleaning that place. Okay, Hijra or Hijrat. When he couldn't persuaded the people of the city of Mecca, Muhammad migrated to the city of Medina. Muslims call it the city of Prophet, which is in Saudi Arabia. 622, that is the beginning of Islamic calendar. And I'm going to tell you, because it's related to all the peaceful verses they're going to bring to America, they will share with American or European, because we're going to see the differences of verses in Quran. So it's very important. When he couldn't persuade and convert these people in Mecca, he migrated in quote-unquote peace. That's why we have all those quote-unquote peaceful verses in Quran. He started to have wars, many wars. So by wars, he wanted to convert the people of other cities and other nations to Islam. If they don't convert to Islam, Either they have to be killed or they have to pay taxes, or we call it jizya, according to them. So we can go next, please. This is in Arabic. Quran means recitation. And we have lots of madrasa or schools in Pakistan. They were financed by mostly Saudi Arabia because people are poor. They were sending their kids to recite Quran just to have food and some shelters. And Muhammad said he received the revelation from the angel called Gabriel. But every time he had an attack, demonic attack, when he was coming back off that mountain. So he said, because he couldn't write, the angel told him, read, recite. So he was repeating whatever that angel was telling him, and the followers who were able to write, they were writing down this Quran. So Quran has 114 surah, which means like verse, and is about the same length as the New Testament. Okay. Hadith, because always you hear from hadith, hadith is all the saying and whatever Muhammad did to his followers is a collection of all Muhammad's tradition about what he said and what he did. So Muslims always go by Quran and what they called hadith. So, and we don't know. It's just all by hearing what he said according to his followers. So we don't know which one is authentic or not. Can we go next? So, can we please? Yes. For example, it says, Muhammad says, men cannot wear gold. So when, even if somebody is a nominal and they out of fear, they want to do all this Muslim, you know, recitation and all these rituals, they take their wedding band, they will remove any gold out of themselves. That is how was Muhammad was doing. Can we go next, please? So we have five pillars of faith. If you confess that Allah is your God, you see, if you see the news in ISIS, they were forcing people to convert. Basically, if you just say that Muhammad, that you believe in Allah, the only God and true God, according to Muslims, and Muhammad is his last prophet, you become a Muslim, verbally. That is what we call shahadat. Salat is calling to prayer. The ritual prayers that, for example, I had it five times per day. And I was thinking, why should I wake up early in the morning before the sunrise? Cannot God hear me after the sunrise? So, but you have so much fear, you don't question God. And zakat is giving your you know, money to the mosque, or you know, you have to gather. And then soma is fasting during the Ramadan. During the Ramadan, you don't eat anything. And even if the nominal Muslim, most of them, because of having fear going to hell, they will do that. They don't eat anything, and they don't even drink water. And imagine if Ramadan started in the month of August. So sometimes, even if I took my mom to a clinic because she was so dehydrated, my mom was educated, but she was afraid to go to hell, so she wanted to follow everything. And Hajj, if you are wealthy enough that you fed the poor, you did all the good things, then you have the pilgrimage to Mecca, and that person called Haji is the, and it's like respecting someone after the revolution if you call them Haji. Can we go next, please? That is what I explained to you. That you are going toward the Mecca, and basically shahadat is there is no God by Allah. And if you can pay attention, please, I put a small g for God because it's not the same. It's not the same guy. Because one of the deception that we have, you know, one of the name of Allah is deceiver. So that's why for the cause of his cause, for the cause of Allah and spreading Islam, Muslim are allowed to lie. That's, we called it taqiyah. It means it's totally okay for you to lie, to even if want to persuade other books or other people that You know, we are a peaceful religion. Islam means peace. That's not correct. So, and this one, you are repeating the same thing. It's like you are reading from a book, the same thing, and it's not your native language if you are not Arab. Can we go next, please? And this is the offering that you give basically to mosque or to the poor. It's one of the obligation. And of course, Muslims do not eat water, do not eat food or anything. Basically, let me tell you one of the differences. Like we do, for example, Daniel fasting. It's totally all the fasting you do in Islam, every good things that you do in Islam, it's because you want to get a brownie points. You want to just earn brownie points to maybe, maybe God show mercy to you and send you to heaven. And of course, if you have missionary or you have missionaries, if you go to the Muslim countries, although it is not your religion, you cannot drink or you cannot eat outside. And even if smoke, because there are lots of Muslim countries and they are famous to have their cigarette. Can we go next, please? The middle one, the small building you see, the Kaaba, is the one that Haji wants to go and do the... And you know, recently, I never been there, but I saw some of my family went and I saw the pictures. There is a huge tower, stony, and they go, one of the part that they go over there to stone Satan. And you know, my husband, even if one of the TV viewer calls and he says, what type of religion is that you want to stoning is another stone and you are killing and don't pay attention to other people that they are walking by or crossing by you, about more than 700 plus has been killed in these rituals. What type of religion of peace is that you don't pay attention to another human being and you are just walking on them and they are dead? You see the pictures of these dead people in the they were showing on TV. Because they are so blinded that if they do that, that's another brownie point to get it. So it doesn't matter if the person near you, child, women, you know, men, been dead. I have 5 more minutes. Thank you. So we're gonna go next. Jihad. Struggle for the faith. It is a militant term, but also it's fighting for the cause of Allah. And I have another presentation for ISIS, but I think we cannot make it. And these things, because many of them, since they don't know Quran, many Muslims do not read Quran, honestly, it's like a holy book. You place it here. So one time I remember I wanted to have the Quran and read it. My dad says, no, you have to wash yourself and clean yourself, even though you have a shower, but still you have to. So it's so holy to be touched. You have to go through some ritual to even touch the book. And who wants to touch and read a book which is not even if in your native language? And that is why when they said, oh, whatever they do, it's not the real Islam. It is, because it's written. And I'm going to explain a little bit more. So if they said they are not, it means they are, some of them, they are nominal Muslim and they do not know about the reality of the book, Quran, of their book. Can I have go the next one, please? Okay. Maybe you may ask why it become the second largest religion. Many of countries, like I have a Christian friend from Ethiopia, they offer lots of money. She said they offer to some of her family members, they wanted to be out of the country if you convert. We're going to give you a passport, we're going to give you money if you convert. And if they are not just following, truly they are not a follower of Christ, they do. And it comes with lots of deception too. Lots of deception. Like they, even if in some of the jail in the United States, in some of the prison, they go and evangelize right now. Among Mexican, among Americans, So, not all Arabs are Muslims. Just 40% of Muslims are Arab. We can go. Next one. Okay, this is just some numbers to give an idea that last few years we had a survey that for only there are 2 to 3 Christian missionaries for every 1 million Muslims. So that's why we believe in the power of the technology and satellite, because we see how many people, hundreds and hundreds of Iranians right now are coming to know the Lord. Hallelujah, because they are hearing the truth. You shall know the truth, and knowing the truth, John 8:32 said, shall set you free, shall set you free. That is why they are looking for freedom. We can go next, please. Of course, you see Iran in the middle, 1040 window. Most non-Christian countries are there. In a few minutes, I'm gonna finish. In Christianity and Islam, I wanna just bring some comparison. God, if you remember from the beginning of presentation, I would just keep saying, I was so afraid, I was so afraid, because Islam is controlled by the spirit of fear. That's why our war is not against flesh and blood. That's why we cannot answer something spiritual in the natural way. That's why we need a prayer, and we need to present the pure gospel to them so they shall know the truth, and knowing the truth shall set them free. Islam is fear versus God. In Islam is love. Islam says Allah is a deceiver and Jesus is truth. Is impersonal always. I was saying, if this God can hear my prayers, because he's so far, you cannot reach him. But thank God for Jesus. Not only I talk to him, not only you talk to him, but you can hear him back through his word. Hallelujah. He's distant God. And God says, I am near to you. I never leave you nor forsake you. So we will see that, of course, God is good all the time. But if something bad happened to you in Islam, they said, well, it was Allah's will. That's why you are here. Lots of inshallah means Allah's will. Can we go next, please? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Of course, is just a man in Islam, that he was not crucified on the cross, so there was no death, just God loved him so much. A little bit of the truth, he took him to heaven directly, and he make people confused that made, like in some Shiite countries, they said they make Judas look like Jesus, so Judas, the bad boy, went on the cross. That is what we've been taught all our, you know, my life in Iran. So he was only a prophet, and we know he is God, he shed his blood on the cross, and he is our Savior, hallelujah, the Savior. We can go next. Men, worthless. That's why there is no value for life of people in the Middle East. That's why there is lots of suicide too. And in Christianity, for each one of us, he shed his blood. So we don't, when we accept him, we don't go to hell. We can go next. That's what I explained. Like we saw some of them, like 9/11. We can go next, please. Women. How many of you wants to be equal to, two of you equal one man when you're gonna go and testify in the court? Like, this is disrespectful, but it's less than a man. Your husband can have multiple wives. So it's a very prejudiced religion, Islam is, and it's good for the men. Is it divorce for men? Not for women. Thank God there is no differences between men and women for Christ, and all of us are the same. We have different responsibilities, but we have same. And how many of you are happy that you are married just to one woman? Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can the women say hallelujah? Thank you. Can we go to the next one? Okay, you see on the left side, there is a lady removing, this is the burqa. And it's very common in Afghanistan after Taliban attacked the country. The burqa is one of the worst one because all of this part that you can see through, it's like a square. So the picture or the people that you see is not clear picture. You see how much suffering you have to have when you have this, even if in that heat, and then you cannot see people clearly because they are like small cube all over. The other one is taken in Iran. By the way, we were forced to cover ourselves. It was not our choice because there were guys, the revolutionary guards in Iran on their motorcycle, and if you have your hair out, you were not covering, they were passing by and pouring acids on your face. And Foreman was here. And recently it happened again. They were stopping by at the red lights. Oh, we have a question. So poor driver, poor the woman was opening the window. What's it, what is it? And they were pouring acids. So we didn't want to lose our face. That's why we had to be covered. That was a law from the government. And this picture on the left is from Afghanistan. The top one is from Afghanistan. So in Iran, they have you have to cover yourself this way if you want to go to university, if you want to go work in a bank, if you want to teach, if you are even if at hospital. Can we go next, please? So, you know, it's forbidden for the women to be going to school. I think I have to finish in 1 minute. Go to next one. So sin is nothing to do with your heart, is what you do. So if you gossip, if you are a liar, it's okay. God has a way to forgive you. But there are other things, like mostly is outward work. So, and there is, the cause is external all the time. So you don't accept the responsibility that, you know, all are sin and fall short of God's glory. We can go next. Heaven. Sin with no penalty and dwell with virgins and the rivers of wine. Although wine is forbidden for Muslims to drink. But over there, so everything is contradicted. We can go next. For the sake of time, I'm going fast. So Islam, salvation, there is no guarantee. Absolutely not. And you are never certain. Maybe after you go over there, God is going to pass you through the middle place between hell and heaven, and then there is a balance to measure your works. If your good works is higher than your bad works, then God will show mercy and you go to heaven. It's nothing to do with his grace. So there is no, you are not certain, there is no assurance of salvation. So of course, like myself, I was very self-righteous because I said I didn't commit any sin because in my mind everything was external. So I have to go to heaven. God has to let me to go to heaven. So you become like a very good person because you are doing so much good things. Maybe there is a way for men is by jihad. And in Russia, some of the Muslim women started to demonstrate. They said, no, we want to go to heaven too. That's why they become some jihadists. We go next. So this is just a joke, but it happens. Evangelism is by force, by terror, by deception. The cause of taqiyyah means you can lie for the cause of Allah. That's totally deception. We can go next. Thank God, God gave us free choices. Okay, this is very important. You see, I put Mecca versus Medina verses, Medina versus Mecca verses. When he was in the transition, peaceful period of his time, Muhammad in the city of Mecca, all the verses he was receiving from that angel was all peaceful religion, peaceful verses. That's why they share those verses with you. But then when you go to Medina, when he migrated to Medina, that he went by force and war and killing, you have to submit to ourselves, that is Medina. So Quran is divided between Mecca verses and Medina verses. That's why you see all the war and everything in Medina verses. And all the quote-unquote peaceful is in Mecca verses. You see the contradictions? And they believe Bible has been tahrif or has been changed. So I was curious. I wanted to see what part of Bible has been changed. So right now I'm asking them, if you say Bible is tahrif or has been changed, it's because we've been told that. So read the Bible and tell me what part has been changed. That is a good way to ask them to read the New Testament. Can we go next? There are some teaching of Quran, and of course it is on our website. And after, you know, today's service, I am here. I can give you some brochures and other things that you can be familiar on our website with some of the scriptures. Thank you very much for your attention and your time. I think I passed 5 minutes, but thank you for forgiving.
That was great. Very good.
Thank you.
So Ellie is going to show a video during the worship service that'll explain more, but please do go to her website and find out more about what she's doing. Okay, Ellie's going to be at Women's Bible Study also on Tuesday, so if you want to come and hear more on Tuesday, you can do that. Great. Let's dismiss, and we'll be right back in 5 minutes for worship. Run to the bathroom.